Welcome to Peak Health, a radio show dedicated to empowering you to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life that you want. I'm Lisa Morse, naturopathic physician on the island at Fern Cove Natural Medicine. I'm dedicated to helping you uncover the root cause of your symptoms so that you can get back on the road to feeling well again.
And I'm Claire Denise, certified health and wellness coach and a personal trainer. Our show is going to bring you information to help you take charge of your health. We're going to cover topics like IBS, heartburn, thyroid disorders, autoimmune diseases, osteoporosis, nutrition, and lots more. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Claire.
It's great to be back in the studio with you today.
It is. It's great. It's so fun to share about ways to be healthier, moving towards peak health. What's our subject today?
Well, in my travels as a health coach, I've spent a lot of time talking about nutrition and food. So today, I thought we'd debunk a few things I've run across repeatedly regarding food. And I welcome you to chime in whenever you want to and even disagree with me, as there are many opinions about food and nutrition. But there are also a few facts, and hopefully we can set the record straight for our listeners today.
Great. That sounds good.
In case you're just churning,
Tuning in.
This is KBSH. It's Claire and Lisa on Vashon Island 101.9. First on my list is the word carbs.
Okay.
This is a little bit of a pet peeve of mine, short for carbohydrates. Generically, the definition is one of several macronutrients making up our diet. Everybody's heard of carbs, and you may know that there's some combination of sugars, starches, and fibers. Mm-hmm. So carbohydrates are totally from the plant kingdom. Anything in the plant kingdom is considered a carbohydrate, as opposed to meat, which contains protein and fat, and those are the other two macronutrients in our diet, by the way. The micronutrients in our diet are vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, and they're found in varying amounts in foods. And of course, our bodies need certain amounts, large or small. So carbohydrates' main job is to provide energy for the body to perform. And our diet is sort of like a symphony orchestra where everything has a part to play. Mm-hmm. And in order for beautiful music to emerge, we need all the parts.
Yeah, great. Sounds interesting. So when we hear about people talking about a low-carb diet, what would you say that means when people talk about that?
Well, I think it's a good question. Technically, a low-carb diet would be one that doesn't have a lot of starch, sugar, or fiber in it. However, we all know fiber is good for us. It's a good thing, and we need carbs. We just need the right carbs for the best nutrition and to be healthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it sounds like there's not really such a thing as a low-carb diet if you're eating fruits and vegetables. And, you know, a lot of people eat salads and fruits and vegetables, so that would not be considered low carb. It would be actually, well, tell me about, yeah.
Well, it would be incorrect. It's actually low starch or low sugar.
I see. Okay.
So my concern is that folks think or say that they're eating low or no carbs all the time to me, when what they really mean is no or low sugar or starch.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, accuracy is important, because if we don't really understand clearly, then it might be confusing and, you know, we might not eat as well as we could.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're eating paleo, and that would mean you aren't eating grain, dairy, or added sugar, but you are eating meat, vegetables, fruit, legumes, nuts, and fats. So okay. Remembering that everything in the plant kingdom is a carbohydrate, the veggies, the fruit, and the legumes qualify as carbs, for sure. So you can't say you're on a no or low-carb diet. So a better way to describe it is to say, I'm not eating any simple carbohydrates or starches or sugar.
Okay.
Basically, foods that are likely higher in sugar and starch, but they're low in fiber.
Okay.
And incidentally, sugar either occurs naturally, like in fruit or milk. And milk's really the only animal source of carbohydrate. And that's because ruminants, like cows and goats, eat grass.
Mm.
Or sugar's added during processing for preserving and baking and that sort of thing.
Okay. So you're saying a low-carb diet is one that would be low in starches or sugars.
Correct.
Or simple carbohydrates. So tell me more about what foods are considered starches or sugars and simple carbohydrates.
So simple carbohydrates, if you had a continuum, would be, say, on the far left, and that means that they're high in starch, high in sugar, low in fiber. Things like white rice, white bread, anything made with white flour, pies, cookies, cakes, bagels, muffins, crackers, pie crusts, pizza crusts, things like that.
Right.
And then at the far end on the other side would be things like corn stalks and grass, which we don't eat because it's too much fiber for us and we can't digest it like animals can.
Okay.
So back a little bit are complex carbohydrates that we can eat, like whole grains, brown, if you will, as opposed to white.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got it. So just making sure I got this. So everything in the plant kingdom is considered a carbohydrate. And so there's really no such thing as a no or low carb diet unless you're not eating any plants.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Smiley face.
Yeah.
So carbohydrates are a significant part of our diet, though, healthy or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to choose more carefully.
Yeah.
The deal breaker is really the amount of fiber. And high fiber colloquially describes complex carbs, like I mentioned. And as humans, we need to eat the complex, not the simple carbs, to be healthier.
Mm.
So the no-low-carb folks are well-intentioned, but they're just not quite accurate.
Okay, I get it. I just want to mention, you know, the difference between simple carbohydrates and complex carbohydrates. And when we eat simple carbohydrates, it causes our blood sugar to spike very quickly. As opposed to the complex carbohydrates, it takes our body a little bit more work to digest those. And so our blood sugar does not spike as much. And so, I mean, it's important to have a stable blood sugar. It's part of good health. And so that's why we want to focus on the complex carbohydrates versus the simple carbohydrates.
Yeah. And, you know, it is really hard these days because there's so many products that are simple carbohydrates.
Oh, yeah.
Processed foods. And we're going to get into that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on.
Yeah. What do you want to tell me about next?
Well, I want to tell you about eggs.
Okay.
Eggs have gotten a bad rap.
Yeah.
For a long time, decades.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you how I think that happened?
Oh, yeah. I want to hear it. I'm interested.
This is a story, so get your blankie. And,
okay.
You know, once upon a time, back in the 50s, there was a scientist named Ansel Keys, and he had this theory that high animal fat diets caused high cholesterol, and that contributed to increased heart disease and heart attacks. So he designed a study to look at lifestyle and the typical diets in these various countries in an attempt to substantiate his hypothesis. So he started out with 22 countries. But unfortunately, the data from all the different diets in the different countries didn't support his theory. So he very quietly deleted all the countries from the study that disproved his theory.
Mm. Oh, boy.
So he ended up with only 7. You know, it's really bad science.
Yep.
Anyway, Mr. Keys summarized eventually that the Mediterranean diet was the most heart healthy. But from there, somehow, it correlated to fat is bad, except maybe olive oil, which was lucky for the olive oil producers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a lot of controversy still going on around this whole study and what was truth and fiction. But basically, high animal fat in the diet supposedly increases cholesterol and thus heart disease is not necessarily true.
Okay.
So and I wish we could say that everybody lived happily ever after, but they did not.
Mm.
So enter the innocent egg.
What?
The breakfast standard in many households. And the yolk contains some fat and cholesterol. So eggs became persona non grata, you know, slit the throat, unwelcome in the world of food.
Aww.
So around the same time, in the 70s, the government came out with their very first food pyramid, which called for 6 to 11 servings of grain at the base of the pyramid, greatly appreciated by the grain industry, I'm sure.
Yep.
So meanwhile, the food industry was busy responding to this no fat in food crisis. But one of the things they discovered is that food without fat didn't have any flavor. So they added sugar and salt to improve what was lost when the fat was taken out.
Mm.
And the times were changing. High fructose corn syrup was created in a Japanese lab. The price of sugar in this country was protected by tariffs to keep the price up. Mm. So high fructose corn syrup was so much cheaper. So it was used as the substitute for fat, as I mentioned, and to make a perfect storm out of this. There were a lot of families that now had both parents working outside the home, another sign of change. And so the cereal market blossomed. Processed foods were on the rise because they're convenient. People didn't have as much time because of busy schedules. Eggs require cooking, and whereas items in a box or a bag were ready to go. So the supposedly healthier, this was supposedly healthier since there was either no or reduced fat in the product. And it was endorsed by the government at the base of the food pyramid. So the poor innocent egg lost its place as a major breakfast component and has struggled for a long time.
So interesting, because, I mean, the only problem with this is that the rate of heart disease hasn't gone down. I mean, right now, obesity, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and stroke are actually at an all-time high. Crazy.
We are catching on to this. So that eggs are not a heart-healthy food has been perpetuated until pretty recently. But now there are some studies that show that not only are foods higher in cholesterol not a culprit in high cholesterol in humans, but eggs in particular have a lot of health benefits and can be safely eaten without increasing your risk of heart disease. So some of those benefits might be divided between the yolk and the white parts of the egg. The yolk, whereas the bulk of the benefits are, is a little more digestible than the white. And if you're sensitive to eggs, of course, you're probably not going to eat them. But the yolk is easier to digest. They include vitamins A, D, E, B vitamins, choline, calcium, phosphorus, selenium, all higher in the yolk than the white. And the latest research says that vitamin D in eggs is particularly good for diabetics. And pasture-raised chickens lay eggs that are four times higher in vitamin D.
Wow, that's interesting.
So
can you explain to me, when I see eggs, there's so many different kinds in the store. There's cage-free, free-range, pasture-raised, organic. Tell me about that.
Sure. I don't want to get into any too big of a controversy here, but when it says cage-free, it means that the chickens aren't kept in a cage. It doesn't mean they're not kept loose in a big building and maybe crammed in. If it says free range, it means that there are doors leading to the outside that are open. It does not necessarily mean the chickens all get outside, and it doesn't say what it is like when they get outside. Like, is it a parking lot or is it a lovely pasture? So organic would mean that they're fed organic feed, which means it's been grown on ground that's had no chemical applications or pesticides for at least 3 years. But chickens are really scavengers. And they eat bugs and worms and things. So organic, you know, bugs and worms aren't organic. So really, if you can find eggs that say pasture raised or grass fed, those would be the best. And if they have omega-3s in them, that would also be a nice addition. So back to the egg, not the chicken or the egg, but just the egg, the white part, does have some protein in it. But there's an enzyme in the yolk that helps the bodies actually digest the protein in the white part. So I guess that's why the egg is what it is, you know, the white and the yellow. And I know how hard it is to change your mindset about eggs after years of being told that eggs were bad. And, you know, it's like you just have this morbid fear that if you eat this egg, you're going to have a heart attack.
Later. It's been drilled into our heads.
So what I'd suggest is seeing if you can just open up your mind a little bit. And if you want to, research it on the internet so you can start using eggs as part of a healthy diet. It's a great source of protein, too. And even low in calories.
If people can tolerate eggs as far as allergies and stuff, it's like one of the healthiest foods. I feel like I recommend them to my patients. So what's our next thing that we want to talk about? Nutrition myth.
I felt we needed to talk a little bit about fat. Fat's gotten a bad rap, too. And the word conjures up negative images. So this piece of the topic is about good versus bad fats. So thanks to the seven-country study mentioned earlier, people have been trying to avoid fat for about 50 years. And we've gotten heavier and sicker instead of moving towards peak health. And I don't know, how does that figure?
It's really interesting. So not all fat is bad. When I'm talking about fat right now, I'm talking about the kind we're eating, not, you know, the kind that's around our thighs or our tummies, but can you tell me about, you know, the good versus bad fats?
Sure. I'm not talking about the excess fat on our bodies because everybody dreads that, but the excess is bad for our health, but it actually comes from an excess of everything we eat,
right.
Not just from fat.
Mm-hmm.
So where was I? I was talking about good versus bad. And first, let me mention why fats are important. About 60% of our brain matter is composed of fat, for starters.
Mm-hmm.
Our organs need a cushion of fat. It's called visceral fat, so they don't rattle around in our abdomens and possibly become injured.
Mm-hmm.
Fat can help regulate our body temperature. It's part of building hormones that regulate our whole body. Fats give our food flavor and help us feel full. If you don't believe me, eat white rice for lunch or eat sushi and you'll be hungry in an hour. And fats even help with blood pressure, clotting, our immune and inflammation responses.
Yeah.
So you could say these are the good fats acting inside our body in a good way and doing good things for our health.
Mm-hmm.
The fats are broken down into fatty acids. Mm-hmm. And the fats also create the membrane or the cell wall of every cell in our body. And that's colloquially called cholesterol, another word that strikes fear in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So cholesterol isn't always bad. We need it for healthy cell membranes.
Yeah.
Bad fats, when we eat them, tend to inhibit the body's ability to function in the areas I was just mentioning, and that increases inflammation.
Mm.
So if you eat the wrong and the bad fats, the brain can't manufacture as high a quality of cell membranes.
I see.
It's sort of like the adage of garbage in is going to equal garbage out. So if you want your body to create a healthy recipe or you want the whole symphony to play together, you have to give it all the high and best quality ingredients you can.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. So I want to mention also, you know, cholesterol. Claire, you said cholesterol is used to make healthy cell membranes.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's important for making hormones, estrogen, testosterone, cortisol. And so if we don't have adequate cholesterol in our body, we can't make our hormones. And as well, it's also a precursor to vitamin D.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And vitamin D, of course, is being discovered to be important in practically every study they do on it. So,
yeah. Yeah. Let me just break in for a second and say we are 101.9 FM, Voice of Ashon, KVSH. And this is Dr. Lisa Morse and Claire Denice. And this is Peak Health Radio Show. So let's continue talking about fats. And so you're saying for good fats to be made inside of our body, we have to make the right food choices.
Correct.
So tell me about that.
So good fats, which are broken down into fatty acids, they can't really be made by the body. So we have to eat them or take supplements.
Okay.
But eating is usually preferable.
Right.
So omega-3s are the high quality good fat. And fatty acid, while omega-6s, aka the bad ones, they have some value, but they need to be in the right balance with the omega-3s. And that's kind of the big issue is what's the balance in them. So good food sources for omega-3s are cold water fish like salmon, tuna, sardines, herring. Also, you could get it from olive oil, flax, chia seeds, walnuts. Unprocessed coconut oil, nuts and seeds, avocados are also great sources of fats, good fats.
Mm-hmm.
Supplements are okay, but they aren't as regulated or monitored. So you might need to make sure you have a really reliable company or source to make sure you're not getting sold.
Yeah.
Snake oil.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. I like Carlson's or Barleen's, although I'm sure there are other good brands and I don't get a kickback, incidentally.
Right.
Which ones do you like?
I like Nordic Naturals, as well as in my practice, I use a brand named Soroyal. But one thing is important is that you want to make sure that they're tested to make sure that they don't have heavy metals in them because fish often contain heavy metals. One thing I do want to say about omega-3s. So omega-3s from plant sources, such as the chia seeds or flax seeds or walnuts, they actually need to be converted by our body. So those contain alpha-linolenic acid, and they need to be converted by our body to EPA and DHA to get the good anti-inflammatory benefits. And so
Those benefits are the EPA and the DHA, right?
Yeah.
Long
and
words.
So it's only, they're long words. We won't list them out. But only about 1 to 10% of the alpha-linolenic acid gets converted to EPA or DHA. So while those foods are good to eat, I also, recommend some sort of fish, whether it's fish oil, a good source of fish oil, or cold water fish, to make sure you're getting those anti-inflammatory benefits.
It's good to know. And it's not like you have to eat, huge quantities of anything, right? You know, mm-hmm. just you need to give yourself enough that you're getting the benefit of the good versus the bad fats, the mm-hmm. threes versus sixes.
Yeah.
And a lot of those are found in meat or seed oils.
Okay. So tell me about seed oils.
Well, some people buy just plain vegetable oil, which means they don't really know unless they look at the label what seeds are in it. But these would be things like canola, which comes from rapeseed, mm-hmm. corn, safflower, sunflower, soy. And also it can be through the meat industry because they started feeding grain to livestock instead of just raising them on pasture lands. Mm. So they confine them and fatten them up for market with grain.
Right.
And that altered the animals' ratios of 3 to 6, which in turn alters ours.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be about 1 to 1 100 years ago, but now it's like at least 1 to 10, 3s to 6s. And some studies say it's as high as 1 to 20 or 25. So it's way out of balance, huge change.
Mm-hmm.
And 100 years ago, again, there was relatively a low incidence of inflammatory diseases like heart disease, cancer, diabetes. But the advent of the wrong fats from the wrong sources, and there's a few other factors involved, and it's dramatically changed the American health profile and causes of death.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that we used to eat way more omega-3s, but now, as of more recently, we increase the amount of omega-6s that we're eating through the seed oils, canola, corn, safflower, as well as the farm-raised or livestock, grain-fed
Correct.
Livestock.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and part of the same equation is that 3s and 6s can compete for the enzymes that help convert in an inversely proportional way. So without getting too technical, the research on 3s and 6s indicates that the more 3s that are available, the less the 6s can exert their inflammatory influence.
Mm.
So this means that more omega-3 fats you eat, the less omega-6s will be available to the tissues to produce inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And omega-6 is pro-inflammatory.
Right.
While omega-3s is neutral or anti-inflammatory.
Mm.
So a diet with a lot of omega-6s, not much omega-3s, is going to increase inflammation. And a diet of reverse, lots of omega-3s, not many sixes, is going to reduce. That was a little redundant. But basically, inflammation is really so key in staying healthy these days.
Exactly.
We're not going to get into that too much right now. So
So I want to mention, though, so you talked to Claire about the grain-fed livestock or animals, more omega-6s. And that's why a lot of times it's promoted, and I recommend to my patients, eating grass-fed animals, so they actually have higher levels of omega-3s, grass-fed animals. So as much as possible, I recommend my patients to, when they're eating meat, to eat the grass-fed kinds.
Yeah, and you won't be perfect, and you don't have to freak out about every single morsel you put into your mouth.
Right.
But if you can try to make better changes more often, which is my mantra, mm-hmm. And things that times you do have control over your diet, try to make better choices.
Yeah.
It'll save you money in the doctor's office.
That's
ultimately.
True. That's true.
Sorry, Lisa.
No, that's okay. So from all of this about fats, what we're saying is that we all stopped eating fat, 50 years ago to keep from getting sick with heart disease. And actually, we've kind of accomplished the opposite.
Exactly.
It's pretty crazy.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Wrong fats in combination with wrong carbs is really the lethal combination, but we'll save that for another day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what can I say? Now we know better, we can do better.
Yeah.
In summary about good fats, the thing to remember is don't be afraid of fat.
Yeah.
And eat a little good fat every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm just going to reiterate the good sources of fat. So unrefined coconut oil. And for those of you who don't know, refined oils are actually treated with heat and processed with toxic solvents. and bleached. And so when you're purchasing oils, you want to purchase unrefined as well as. So the brand that I recommend, and again, no kickbacks, is Spectrum oils. They actually have, many types of oils and many of the, they label them as refined or unrefined. But on to other good sources of fats, avocados, nuts, seeds, and again, the pasture-raised meats or grass-fed meat and fish. Oh, and I want to mention about fish, the cold water fish. So if you're eating salmon, which is a cold water fish, you don't want to eat farmed. Actually, farmed fish is they're fed sawdust pellets and they're actually injected with dyes and they have been shown to not have the same levels of omega-3s as wild salmon.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
I'm back to the oils then.
Yeah.
I just say some are better for cooking and some are better just for consumption.
Right.
The cooking can break down oils when they're heated, particularly higher heat.
Mm-hmm.
I like a little oil chart. It's called at eatingrules.com, cooking oil comparison chart. And it has sort of an X and Y axis of better for eating, better for cooking, and gives you some good information about which oils are best to choose.
Yeah. And also, I just have to add that the Spectrum oils, they have on their bottles, you know, what if you're going to cook with it, what temperature cooking,
low heat,
medium heat, high heat. And they actually have the temperature range too, you know, 325 or whatever.
Well,
so it's helpful that way.
Bon appetit.
Yeah. So one thing I wanted to say, actually, and I forgot to mention this back in the cholesterol, you know, because, we're so afraid of having cholesterol. And I don't think, did we talk about the inflammation, Claire? I can't remember if we did.
Well, we did talk about that omega-6s promote inflammation and omega-3s. I said that backwards.
Yeah.
Omega-6s promote inflammation, omega-3s.
Right.
Help to bring it down.
Yeah. But what I wanted to talk about is actually cholesterol levels, and that something I learned when I was in school was that, you know, there was a study about that more than 60% of all heart attacks occur in people with normal cholesterol levels, and the majority of people with high cholesterol never have heart attacks, which is totally interesting. And so what I've learned is that it's not necessarily about the cholesterol level, but actually the level of inflammation in the body.
And we didn't even touch on triglycerides.
We didn't.
Which is the decorated parts of our bodies carrying that extra fat. But that's for another day, I think.
Yeah. But I just thought it's interesting because we're also, you know, obsessed about our cholesterol levels when we should be more concerned about our inflammation, if there's inflammation going on in our body. And there's tests, you know, that your doctor can do to figure that out.
CRP?
Right. High sensitivity CRP is one of them. But you know, focusing on what we just talked about, the good fats, the omega-3s and fish oil and stuff like that can help you reduce your inflammation in your body, whereas so that, you know, cholesterol isn't the end-all be-all of, you know, what's a predictor of heart attacks. So.
Well, and that was a lot of information on the myth of fat is bad.
Yeah.
And I wish it were simpler and easier to understand.
Yeah, you know, just little by little, we can take it all in and learn more and more every day. And so what did we talk about? So we talked about carbohydrates. We talked about
eggs
and fat.
Bad fats.
Yeah.
Versus good fats.
Yeah. So what would you like our listeners to take away from our show today?
Well, I think I'd like people to take away that they can have certainly a very positive influence on their health by improving their diet.
Mm-hmm.
And some simple things like the right kinds of eggs, the right kinds of fats. You don't have to be a food scientist to do that. And if you try to make some better choices more often, little by little, you're going to feel better and you're going to be setting up internally, a healthier body.
Yeah, cool. Great information, Claire. I guess we'll be signing off now.
Okay.
This is Peak Health Radio Show, where we're dedicated to educating and inspiring you, our listeners, to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life that you desire. Thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you next time.
Well, I would just add, if you have questions, you could leave them at Fern Cove
naturalmedicine.com. Yeah, send me a message.
And send one message to Lisa. And if you'd like some support or accountability at changing your diet, You could leave a message for me there, Claire, nice, and as well. And we'll look forward to talking about some more food myths at another time. Mm-hmm. And thanks so much for listening today.
All right. Bye-bye.